best audience in the country. I am Bob Inyar, America's most popular self-proclaimed right-wing religious fanatic, heterosexual, anti-choice talk show host. Our phone number, 1-800-8-INYAR. Oh, and by the way, it's an H-free zone the entire month of May. H-free.
H-free. Yeah, okay.
No H sounds.
All right,
No aspirins.
None of that.
No.
This is Doug McBurney. It's Friday, and I'm sitting in with Bob Enyart live on the Information Radio Network. How exciting it is to be here, Bob.
I'm thrilled. Doug, we're just going to do the headlines and the news.
Yeah. Well, and the psycho callers. Like, you've been getting these psycho callers all week, and they tend to come in piles or bunches.
I meant bunches.
Did I say pile? Yeah. I'm sorry. I meant bunches. They seem to come in bunches. So okay. The number to call... the more hellbound and damned, the better. Those are the callers we want. Those are the people we need to talk to. The number is 800-836-9278. That's 1-800-8-ENYART. Give us a call if you dare.
If you dare.
You've been having a good time this week.
We have.
Maybe too much fun.
It's been fun. Very fun. Right.
But I'll tell you, Bob, there's nothing like hearing a hardcore, sold-out, gung-ho Christian go up against the weak-kneed types. And the hellbound as well, the weak-kneed Christians and the hellbound heathens.
Well, Doug, we've got instant messages coming in here and emails. And, you know, there was a guy, maybe later in the show we'll talk about the New Testament saying Jesus rose on a Sunday. And so crime is so low around the world on Sundays because we remember Christ.
Right.
Whereas the liberals, their days are Friday night and Saturday night.
Yeah.
When they all go out and get drunk and sleep around.
Right.
And all the rape and the murder. So their days, crime rates go up.
Yeah.
So we Christians, we're a great influence on the world. Imagine all the people who have not become victims.
Yeah, all the crimes that Christianity has prevented.
Just because on that day, millions of people remember Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead.
Yeah.
But anyway, I got an email here from a guy who asked about that last week during a commercial break. And he said, well, does it say he rose on Sunday? And it does. But then he said, Bob, thanks for writing back. I heard you talking with the lady from New York, and I loved your logic. It is rare to hear anyone with good logic these days.
It is.
These days. But you know what? Alan Keyes on MSNBC.
Oh, yeah?
He's been whooping up.
He has?
On liberals lately.
Oh, wow.
He's really pretty good.
Well, I'm glad to hear that his show is going well.
Oh, he's been good on Israel.
Yeah?
Oh, man. Just pegging Arafat as a terrorist.
Yeah, yeah.
And saying Bush, the headlines a few days ago, Bush frees terrorist. Bush freed a terrorist.
He did. I saw that little rat scurrying around the rubble of Ramallah. Yeah. It's true then. They've let him out of the bathroom.
Yes.
They've rolled back the tanks.
And so Bush freed a terrorist.
Yes, he did.
It's part of our war on terrorism, like our war on drugs. We're so confused.
Yeah, yeah. Well, so, I know it wasn't the Israeli. I know it was the pressure was really from the Americans.
Yeah.
When it came to releasing Arafat.
Yeah, but really too bad the Israelis caved in.
Yeah.
If we had Osama bin Laden, we'd just kill him.
Well, would we? I mean, it's kind of hard to say at this point.
Right. Maybe we'd think we're committing a crime against humanity if we killed him.
Yeah. The UN could send in a team. What happened with the UN team, by the way? It seems like the UN team is not going to go into Jenin.
No, because, it's obvious 500 civilians were not slaughtered. It wasn't a massacre. Maybe the Jews said early on that it maybe 50 to 60 people.
Yeah, yeah.
And I heard a representative from the Palestinian Authority has put it at 56 so far.
Is that right?
Known dead.
Hmm.
So much. But, of course, there were lies.
Yeah.
It's obvious they were lost.
So much for the massacre and that whole thing.
Yeah.
But it was sad. After seeing that beautiful hole that the Israelis put in that Ramallah compound, it was just depressing to see that little rat scurry out of that hole.
That was a nice.
Man.
Nice hole.
It was a sad ending for that hole.
Yeah.
Tell you what.
That's right. Now, and they've said, how long has it been since there's a suicide bomber in Israel? How many weeks?
Three weeks it's been.
I think 3 weeks is right.
Yeah.
And... you know, and who gets the credit for that? Is it Arafat? No, he's been in his hole.
Yeah, he's been locked. He's been locked away.
Right, he's been in that rat trap for more than 100 days.
It seems to me that
it's Sharon in the Israeli Defense Force.
It's
the Jews and their army, and this is how you resolve terrorism.
Exactly.
By killing the terrorists.
Yes.
That's how you do it. There is no political solution to terrorism.
No. Killing terrorists is a very effective way of stopping terrorism.
Right. And so for 3 weeks, that hasn't been in almost 2 years since the Intifada started. 3 weeks of relative calm.
Yeah.
And so it's evidence, just like what we've done in Afghanistan.
Yeah.
You kill the terrorists and you dismantle their infrastructure.
But they've let the lead rat go, and I can't comprehend why that is.
Well, the American government, we took the side of freeing the terrorists.
What's the love affair with Arafat? Where is the – I don't see where his appeal is, frankly. I just don't get it.
Yeah, I don't think Bush likes Arafat. Here's where I think Bush is going wrong. He was doing great when we were first bombed.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, when – at the moment of catastrophe, that's when liberalism – looks so tepid, weak, pale, and conservative Christianity is so strong.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they say there's no such thing as an atheist in a foxhole.
Amen.
When people are being killed, people don't say, oh, man, I wish I could see a Black Sabbath concert tonight. You know, when someone in your family dies.
No.
But they think about they God.
Yeah, they do.
They think about Jesus Christ. So when our own Pearl Harbor happened, September 11th, then people right away, they think about justice.
That's right.
And righteousness, and the wicked, the evil ones, and killing the wicked.
Right.
It's all very clear.
Yeah.
But as time goes on, people who are not well grounded, they start to lose focus. And so, you know, we know that Saddam Hussein should be killed, and we should liberate the Iraqi people. But Bush has been deceived into thinking that, well, we can't liberate Iraq unless we have the Arab world behind us.
Yeah.
And so he's going to do whatever he can to appease the Arab world, even though it blurs our own war on terrorism.
Yeah.
We're now the advocates of some terrorists and the opponents of other terrorists.
It's bizarre. You know, it's as bad as the conservatives trying to schmooze the liberal media, hoping that they'll be friendly to them.
Good point.
They're not going to be our friends.
Good
terrorists
point.
Or Dan Rather.
Sort of like Jerry Falwell.
Yeah,
nice
exactly.
guy, Jerry Falwell. But he has on his, you know, his day timer?
Yeah.
Do you have a day timer?
Well, I got one on my computer.
All right. Well, on his day timer, every day, it's just scheduled in. You could do that with Microsoft Outlook.
Oh, yeah.
At 9 a.m., issue press release.
Yeah.
And at 2 p.m., issue retraction and apology. Because Christians say things and the unbelievers get angry and then they say, oh, I'm so sorry.
It's
I wish
so
I hadn't
sad.
Said that.
It's so sad.
Could you imagine Jesus issuing an apology?
I don't think there weren't many retractions, at least not in the four Gospels that I've read.
No.
I didn't read any retractions that
no.
he issued.
The prophets, the apostles. when the apostles came to Jesus and said, you know, they were offended when they heard what you said.
Oh, yeah.
And Jesus said, oh, no, perhaps they misunderstood.
That's terrible. Right. What have I done? Oh, no.
I hope they'll give me another chance to set
no,
the record straight.
No, I don't think so. I don't think so.
No, he said, hey, I'm the rock of offense. There's a lot more where that came from.
Amen.
Can a Christian lie?
Hey, let's stop the tape there.
Stop the tape.
Stop the tape. We're doing live commercial breaks.
Yeah.
And I'm so excited we are because, you know, for this show to continue to grow, get on more cities, we're on what, 5 cities now? We need support from the audience.
We do.
And for people to grow in their own Christian lives, they need to be built up from the Word of God, the Bible. And so there's something that could sync up here. If people in the audience would like to get some of our teaching tapes, we've got them.
And we've got a lot of them.
We've got a lot of them. We've got an overview of the whole Bible.
Yeah.
And then we've got an album called The Tree. First, you start out with the overview of the whole Bible. And then The Tree of the Knowledge of Good and Evil. I don't know, how do we describe
The Tree of the Knowledge of Good and Evil? Wow. I tell you what, Bob, you know what that brings up? Brings to mind a conversation I was having with a Harvard graduate, and he said, all knowledge is good.
Oh.
All knowledge is good.
All right.
And so in my mind, I went back to some of the teachings in that very album, The Tree of the Knowledge of Good and Evil, and I said, well, why is it that the Tree of the Knowledge of Good and Evil, I said, that didn't work out so well,
right.
All that knowledge.
How about like NAMBLA? You know NAMBLA?
The North American, yeah.
Oh, well, let's not say what it is. People who molest children, and they write books on how to molest children.
Right.
And how to get away with it.
Right.
So that's knowledge.
That's knowledge, sure.
So is that good?
Well,
maybe we should teach that to all unhappy, lonely adults.
Well,
because that's just more knowledge.
Exactly
so,
the point.
Yeah. So,
exactly
liberals,
there's more. There's
so
more.
He's a Harvard graduate.
A Harvard graduate, but he sort of admitted that he was wrong about that. But he pretty much dismisses a lot of Genesis as analogy and myth. Mm.
But if people want to get such albums, our teaching albums, call us at 1-888-8-NYART, and most of them are $29.95.
And they're awesome.
We're back, and the lines are full, so...
Don't try to call right now. Wait for someone to hang up.
Yeah.
And in fact, what you want to do is time it 7 seconds before they hang up. You want to start dialing.
For our tape delay.
And then you can get through.
Okay.
If you dare.
So, Doug, let's do one headline since we said we were going to do a headline.
All right. Well, Bob, you talked about funerals and how tragedy and death makes people think of God. Mm. And that brings to mind the top funeral of the week was thousands. Here's the headline from the from United Press International. Thousands attend Lisa Left Eye Lopez funeral.
Doug, I never heard of her until she died.
Bob, you're so unhip hop.
Who is she? And how does she only have one eye?
No, Bob, she has two eyes. And she was a member of a singing group, one of these R&B types, with a Grammy-winning group called TLC. Now that rings a bell, right? You got a few of their discs,
the
right?
Lucifer Channel. No?
I'm not sure what it stands for, TLC. And we probably couldn't say it on the air if we ever found out.
Right.
But how would you like this to be the way people remember you? Her name was Lisa Left Eye Lopez. You were talking about how a funeral or a tragedy or a death makes people think about God. Well, not in the Hollywood hip-hop community, Bob.
Oh, yeah.
The one thing they remember about Lisa Left Eye Lopez.
Yeah.
They say that she was always her own person. That was the main theme of the funeral.
She was always her own
her own person.
Does that mean selfish?
It's hard to say. I mean, she was her own person. Well, let's hope that she, being her own person, is able to sustain her life now that her physical body is dead, seeing as that she was her own person.
Right.
But, Bob, how did she get her nickname? You're not going to believe this.
Left Eye Lopez. How?
I mean, when you die, I've thought about this. When I die, I would like to be remembered for a few things that I've said and done in my life.
Yeah.
And I would like them to be of some value and meaning and depth and spiritual significance. Well, Lisa Left Eye Lopez will be remembered for time immemorial. She acquired her nickname by replacing one lens of her glasses with a condom during performances. Bob is speechless.
He's kidding.
I'm not. I didn't make it up. That's how she got her nickname. During concerts, over her left eye, she would put a condom over her glasses.
Oh, that's perfect.
And now
what a classy chick.
Oh, yeah. And 1,000 years from now, when archaeologists look back in history, that's going to be the legacy.
In her coffin. They're going to find her eyeglasses, and they're going to think that she had some kind of a thorn in the flesh where her eye oozed some kind of pus.
She obviously needed some collection.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So it wouldn't drip down her face.
But, I mean, can you imagine that that's your legacy for society?
That's just
And the
gross.
News media reports it as a positive legacy.
Oh, yes.
It's just unbelievable.
Right.
That is sad.
Let's go to the phones.
That's just one headline. We got more.
All right, Doug.
But the phones first.
We're going to the phones to Berthoud, Colorado. Keith, you're on with Bob and Doug.
Hi, Bob.
Howdy.
Hi, Doug.
Hi, Keith.
Could I first a technical note here first?
Yes.
Your technician doesn't like Doug, and he's not feeding his microphone into this phone, so I can't hear it.
Well, thank you for telling us that, and we will work on that. The aux send. Okay.
It sounds like you got a heckler yelling in your window.
How's it working now?
I've had my problems with these guys on the soundboard.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah.
Okay, and hey, Keith, as soon as you said it, our engineer knew exactly what was wrong, so thank you.
So we can tell that it was a personal issue and not really a technical. No, I'm just kidding.
Okay.
All right, so what's
up, Keith?
Well, speak my mind would be wrong. I got to ask you a question, though.
Yeah.
I feel instinctively that you're right when you say that voting for the Democrats is a sin, and at certain times for the Republicans too. Of course, same way.
Oh yeah, you're not kidding. We're equal opportunity
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll bash either party
here.
But that's just a feeling. I want to know more about this. I'd like you to help me.
All right. Why is it a sin to vote for a Democrat?
Well, how do I convince my friends?
Oh, that's another.
You know what? This,
that's another matter altogether.
But listen, this brings up. You know what, Keith? I think I can answer your question in a conversation that I had with Bob the other night. We have our roundtable discussion after our Sunday night Bible study.
At Denver Bible Church.
Yeah, over at Denver Bible Church.
Yes.
And someone had brought up the issue of the government doing things immoral. And I said, well, can't you be immoral without sinning? And everyone in the room kind of looked at me like an idiot. And they said, no, you can't. And so, Keith, I mean, the Democrats, the Republicans, all of them, every day. Go ahead.
Well, whichever, say an individual supports a platform which says it should be legal to kill children and all kinds of destructive, sexually immoral policy positions they take, and just on and on, very godless in what they want to implement in our government, then to support them is wrong. You don't do evil that good might come of it.
What about the situation where you thought somebody was going to do the right thing when he or she was in a position of power?
Well, that's different.
And
that's,
then they did something else.
That's not a sin.
That's naivete.
Right. You might be naive, or the person might have put on a good show and then lied. And you might have been deceived. But if you knowingly, if someone says, it's my policy to kill some innocent children, if somebody says that, then that person is not qualified to lead and should not get the support of anyone as a leader. Does that make sense, Keith, that part?
It makes sense to me. And I heard the Christian Sarah the other night.
Ah, the one I became enraged at.
Yeah, well, I heard it offline, actually. I got to do something here when I'm working at IBM to keep the ears full, you know.
Right,
IBM.
But anyway...
I agree
with you that you're not fighting the pagans at all times. You're up against Christians, too. And a lot of my Christian friends, they just think they're going to do the best they can with their vote, you know?
With their vote, right. If, you know, we have such a problem because the people who rise to the top in American politics who are conservative or sort of supposedly or Christian, so many of them, when it comes to cloning research, and making human embryos and all that, and human stem cells. They don't say that's evil. They say, well, we'll only fund it a little bit.
Yeah. Right, I know.
We'll only fund it a little bit. And when it comes to sexually immoral, openly sexually immoral perverts, they say, well, we're only going to appoint them as ambassadors.
Right, we'll send them off to Belgium or whatever.
Right.
And instead of saying... That's immoral. It's wrong to be publicly sexually immoral, and we're not going to advocate that. We're not going to tolerate it. But they elevate our Christian leaders, elevate people like that, so that the kids who grow up in our households, they say, "Well, hey, Dad, you supported so and so, and he thinks that all those sexual laws in the Bible are no longer valid."
Yeah.
I think the reason I would have a tough time convincing any of my Christian friends is because you're not going to find anything in the Bible that tells you how to vote because there's nothing that says to vote.
Oh, yes.
Is that a correct assessment?
Well, no, I don't think so. When it says, for example, do not do evil that good might come of it. So should somebody vote for Adolf Hitler?
Oh, no, I don't mean that.
Because he's running against someone who's worse.
Right.
If Hitler was running,
what I mean is that the idea of voting.
Oh,
is
voting
pretty
is
scanty in the Bible. Well, I'm not sure how you're going to.
Where
find
does
it.
The Bible address voting?
Well, you know, a real close buddy of mine, his father's a preacher, and I asked him one time, "Tell me about voting in the Bible." He says, "Oh, they voted a lot." And I said, "Well, I don't know where."
They voted a lot.
And I asked
That's
my daughter
funny.
This one time.
There is one story where they voted.
I remember one.
Go ahead.
I asked my daughter this one time. I said, "Can you think of any instance in the Bible?" She goes to a Christian school in Longmont, and she's in second grade. She was then. And she said, "I can only think of one. That's when Pilate asked about whether he should release Barabbas or Jesus."
Oh, very good.
And I said, "You are awesome."
She is awesome. What a gal.
Can you think of anything else?
Yeah, there is another. Back in the book of Numbers, when the actually it didn't quite, it was put up for a vote.
Yeah.
And somebody knocked down the voting booth.
Well, it was a Republican form of representative democracy.
Yeah. The people in Israel, they were upset with Moses because he had a dictatorial form of government. And, you know, people don't like that type of government. They want,
I think it's inherently wrong.
They want a representative government.
Yes.
So 250 leaders of the congregation.
Oh, I remember this.
Representatives of the people, men of renown, came forward and they said, Moses, we are the representatives of the people. We should have a representative government and the people should have a voice in the government. And so Moses said, okay, let me get this straight.
Yeah.
I'm in charge, and you guys say you represent the people. All right, why don't you guys stand over there?
Way over there.
Way over there. And I'll stand over here, and we'll see if God likes a representative government or if he likes an individual to govern.
And they came to no good end.
Well, and they went over there, and Moses said, a little farther, guys. Go a little farther. And then God opened up the earth and sucked the 250 representatives, the House of Representatives, he sucked it down alive into hell.
I remember this.
Yeah. That's when they wanted to vote, but God knocked down the voting booth. So I even get upset at the Baptist. And I think the Southern Baptists are probably the best denomination in the country.
Oh, yeah.
But I get upset at them when they have their annual conventions and they vote on things like abortion or fornication or being, you know, just unmarried people having affairs and whether they could be choir directors or whatever.
Yeah.
And usually the vote comes out consistent with the Bible. But what are they going to – eventually groups get liberal and then they vote the other way.
Yeah.
But what are they going to do when they get to heaven and God says, hey, you, Baptist, where did I say you can vote on my law?
Yeah.
Where did I say that? Thou shalt not commit adultery. Where does it say, and here's where you cast your ballot?
You can amend that maybe later. There's an amendment process. Amendment process.
Said, I wrote it in stone. Why do you think I wrote it in stone, you knot-headed, thick-headed? I mean, you don't vote on God's law. You don't do that. You don't vote whether or not it's you can have no-fault divorce. You don't do that.
But where is the biblical guidance on voting as we do it now?
There,
basically,
is,
at this time,
there
I
is
simply,
none.
I can't vote. There's nothing that's pure enough to vote for anymore, you know?
Nope. I don't vote myself.
I don't vote much. Mm-hmm. Usually a protest vote for Howard Phillips. Or
yeah.
Well,
but,
I have voted for him once, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, he's a pretty cool guy.
You know, speaking of this kind of thing, and related to the idea that money is fungible.
Yeah.
A few years ago, I was going to my wife's church, Presbyterian. And I managed to. I was really disgusted after reading in the paper about their votes. The highest level of the church is voting, you know, kind of really, really in some strange ways. Not totally evil, maybe sometimes, but they're kind of on the fence and they can't make up their mind what's right and what's wrong, you know.
Yeah.
And also, they came out with a strong statement after they had all the doctrinal stuff taken care of. A strong statement saying that all their members, all Presbyterian members, should definitely get rid of assault rifles.
Oh, that's a good one.
You're voting on that at church?
Well, not at the local congregation, but at the highest levels of leadership of the Presbyterian Church.
Hmm.
So that I never went back there again. I took my family to to use the derogative term, a Campbellite church.
Oh.
But it's totally a good church, of course.
Hmm.
Their doctrine is not exactly as I read in the plot, but
right.
Oh, you've read the plot.
What's that?
You've read the plot, have you?
I have read it, yes.
Outstanding.
Well, I bought it, though. I want you to know that I paid for it.
Okay.
Well, yeah.
Hey, well, listen, before we go any further, I think that for the public school graduates in our audience, someone needs to define the word fungible.
Well, I really, because there are some public school teachers listening, I think they need to look it up for themselves.
There you go. Dictionary.com.
Here's what I meant by bringing it up. Some of the people in the church were saying, well, if you don't like to support that particular part of what we're doing, then just give your money for something else. I said, well, that just frees up the other guy's money to support what he wants.
It's fungible. We're out of time. Goodbye, Denver. And for the rest of you, we'll be right back. my product list.
Uh-oh.
Hey, we're doing a live spot here. I'm Bob and you're at live. You know, we used to do these commercials that Jason Troyer produced for us. They were great commercials.
Yeah.
Until the 4,000th time that we hear them.
Yeah, that gets a little old.
We need a bigger staff here.
We do.
At Bob and you're at live. But I wanted to tell the audience, Doug, about these audio albums that we offer. People can buy the monthly Bible studies.
Right.
How much does it cost?
Oh, you know, they're $25, $30 a piece.
Yeah, $25. $24.95 plus shipping and handling.
Yeah, yeah.
For new signer-uppers.
Yeah.
And we go through so many of the books of the Bible. We start out with Galatians, which was probably the first New Testament book written.
Right.
What a fun time. Just Galatians 1 will blow people's minds. Because people don't realize that Paul spent so much time distancing himself from the 12 apostles.
Say what?
Yeah, he's distancing himself from them.
I know. It's really an eye-opener.
Isn't it an eye-opener?
Listen to that album.
It's like, Paul, what's the matter? What's going on? What's wrong, Paul?
What's your problem with the 12 apostles?
Why don't you speak your mind?
Yeah.
He says, look, I became a Christian. I got saved, and I didn't go to the 12 apostles.
That's what he said.
I went to the desert instead.
That's right.
And after years of being a Christian, okay, I went and I saw Peter, but that was it, just for a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I saw James too, but none of the other apostles.
Yeah.
I didn't see them. They didn't see me. In fact, they don't even know me by face.
That's right.
And then he says, but I saw none of the other apostles. I'm not lying.
Yeah.
He said, I'm not lying. I didn't see any of the other apostles. It's like, okay, Paul, take a sedative.
We get the point.
Why are you so upset about it? Why are you so emphatically saying you didn't hang out with the 12?
Right. That he didn't study under the 12?
Right.
He wasn't taught by the 12.
Why in Galatians 1 are you being so emphatic about that? Well, you get to Galatians 2, and Paul says that he accuses Peter of being a hypocrite.
Whoa.
And untruthful about the gospel. That was pretty serious.
Yeah.
I mean, Peter's one of the 12.
He's the top guy.
The inner circle.
Yeah.
Peter, James, and John.
Yeah.
He's the first mention, top billing.
Yeah.
Peter, James, and John. And Paul says he was a hypocrite. So that's interesting. And why is that first book in the New Testament written like this? Well, call us 1-888-8-NYAR, order the plot, and order Galatians. We're back. 1-800-8-NYARDS, 1-800-836-9278. Doug, let's do another headline, and then we'll get back to the phones.
Yeah.
We'll go to Indiana this time.
All right. Now, this is a little off topic, but
yeah. It's
from today, from the Associated Press. Hawaii is poised to cap gasoline prices.
Oh.
That's the headline.
Oh, that's good.
Right off the Associated
Press. You know, they're really, they got a brain trust going on in Hawaii.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to cap gasoline prices.
Right.
Which means, you know, you got to ship it all the way there.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Which means they're going to have a gas shortage shortly after they do that.
Sure.
Just like California mm-hmm. capped energy prices.
Yeah, right.
And then they couldn't keep their lights on mm-hmm. at dusk.
So if the state is going to cap the profits that can be made in a certain industry, they're going to drive that industry's over.
Yeah,
you
right.
can't cap
profits. It's going to become dysfunctional. But maybe they don't care because they have a lot of palm trees there. And
that's true.
And they're growing sugar.
Yeah.
You know, you can get some sugar cane out there.
And
maybe they'll put sugar cane in their gas tanks.
Well, you can't put sugar in a gas tank.
Can't do
no,
that?
I learned that in high school.
Oh, you can't put sugar.
It's bad.
Well, what are they going to do then without gas? They must have an alternative plan.
I don't know. And I don't know if this has
They're just idiots.
Apparently, the legislature and the governor support this thing.
Why cap? Of course they do. Why cap it? Why not cut it in half?
Yeah, why not lower the price?
If you're going to be good, be really good.
Be extra super
good. If you're going to help the economy, really help
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
Don't be so timid.
Yeah,
you stupid liberals.
Capping prices doesn't help the poor nearly as much as just 5 cents a gallon. That's it.
That's right.
And then let's help the poor.
That's right. Besides the oil companies, they've got way too much money.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? We heard I heard a funny call about the oil companies where this liberal was complaining about prices and saying that, well, there's he was contradicting himself, saying there's too much competition.
Yeah.
And there's no competition, and they're all getting together to set prices.
Ah.
And so it's, which was it?
Hey.
Is there too much competition or no competition?
He's just covering all his bases.
Right.
Right. There's too much and they're all colluding.
Right.
Yes.
And if they're all colluding, why does the price of oil plummet, the price of gasoline plummet throughout the year? You know, at different times it plummets.
Yeah.
Well, it's a plan to plummet it? No.
No.
It's competition.
Yeah.
Market forces. But all right.
You know, you think that this type of thing, like economic freedom in America, yeah, it just seems like a self-evident thing that you shouldn't tamper with the free market. But it's not that evident anymore.
No. And the college professors are all, you know, they're socialists and communists. So.
And they're in the legislature now.
Right. Let's go to Indiana, South Bend, Indiana. Jerry, speak your mind.
Bob and Doug.
Hello, Jerry.
Hey, Jerry.
I mentioned this right off the bat.
Yeah.
I kind of have a nice soft spot in my heart for audio engineers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the previous caller mentioned he couldn't hear Doug.
Yeah.
Well, I couldn't really hear the previous caller.
Is that right? So yeah. Our sound man's really batting 1,000 tonight.
And the bumper music, too.
That's actually a systemic problem we have.
We do.
We do. We have that problem. But we'll work on it.
Right. Well, I just wanted to ask a question. I'm going to be real careful how I walk around this.
Yeah.
But back on the TV show, you used to, if you slipped up.
Yeah,
I pay
our producer a buck every time I slip up.
The floor director a dollar.
Yeah.
Yeah, I owe $3 right now.
Oh, really?
Who's getting it?
Our producer.
Really? Did you put that to a vote of all the crew members?
No, we didn't. No.
We don't put
How do you think they'd vote, by the way?
How would they vote? They'd each want the money.
See, there's a lesson in democracy.
Democracy doesn't work.
You know, I do have another idea, Bob.
Well, wait. I got to interrupt you.
Okay.
A Sunday school class that a friend of mine was teaching and I was helping 10 years ago, Doug.
Yeah.
We wanted to teach the little kiddies. This was like 10 to 12-year-old kids.
All right.
We wanted to teach them about democracy.
Okay.
So we gave each kid in the class 2 Oreos.
Okay.
And we said, now, before you eat them, you could all vote on who gets to eat the Oreos. Okay. So real quickly, they counted, and they realized there were 9 boys and 8 girls.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So one of the boys suggested they vote that all the boys get to eat all the Oreos.
Uh-huh.
And they voted, and they won.
Uh-huh.
So they took all the Oreos from the girls, and the boys ate the Oreos. Now, that's not very Christian, but it's very democratic.
It's extremely.
Right. And that illustrates the point that the majority should not be allowed to rule. Government should protect the minority from the majority.
That's right.
The role of government is to protect the minority from the majority. So if you have majority rule, government doesn't function well. It's backwards. It's broken. But anyway, Jerry, go ahead.
Yeah, one other thing, and maybe I don't want to encourage you to, you know, keep saying those certain words.
Well, don't even bring it up again,
then,
Jerry.
Let's not go there, Jerry.
Well, I'm going to bring this up. Just, I think every listener, if you do slip,
to
contribute $1 to the fund of Bob in Your Life.
Oh, every no, then I would be, there'd be a conflict of interest.
Yeah, that'd be a
conflict. Yeah, that's why I was hesitant.
Bob doesn't work for Oracle or the state of California. Come on.
That's right. So, yeah, Jerry, we're not going to fleece the flock like that.
I didn't think so.
Besides, not a dollar. We need $29.95 for an audio album.
That's right. Get the album so that we can get this whole audio systemic thing fixed.
That's
that whole
right.
Deal.
Hey, Jerry, anything else?
No, that's it.
All right. Thank you so much for your call. 1-800-8-N-YARD. 1-800-836-9278. And see, now's when you call in, just when somebody hangs up.
Right. Call in when someone hangs up. That means the lines are free. But, Bob, I've got way too many headlines.
All right, go ahead.
I mean, I got a ton.
Let's try to get.
All right, and this is right off the hot off the wire today.
Yeah.
A police officer convicted in a manslaughter case. Police officer convicted of manslaughter.
Hmm.
Right? So what would you think happened here? Well, a police officer confessed to drinking as many as 13 beers before getting behind the wheel of his car.
Oh, my.
Off-duty officer. He hit a minivan and killed a family of 4.
Oh, so what does God say he should be executed?
Well, wait a minute. I mean, this wasn't intentional, Bob. He didn't set out that night to kill anyone, so, I mean, it's not like
That's true.
I mean, is this a death penalty?
He should be executed. You're right.
Well, wait a minute.
He should be executed because it's gross negligence in a capital case.
Hmm.
So if you're negligent and you cost somebody $500, you should pay them restitution.
That seems reasonable.
If you're negligent and you kill people, then you pay with your life.
Because you can't really pay that back.
Yeah, right.
You've killed someone or jail time.
Right.
It really doesn't help.
God says in the Bible that if it's an accident, then, of course, there's no guilt if it's an accident. But if it's gross negligence that you become drunk and then you become a deadly weapon and you kill people, then he should be executed. So hopefully he got the death penalty.
Well, Bob, this is in the state of New York, and this officer's facing up to 15 years.
They don't even have the death penalty in New York.
I don't think so.
I remember, you know, I hate to mention his name because of the visceral hatred I have for him. Some radio guy who's CBS radio loves, Howard Stern.
Oh, yeah.
But Howard Stern, I don't know if he flirted with the idea or if he said he was going to run for governor of New York.
Yeah, he. I think he did some kind of, he actually
preliminary
ran for a while,
or something
or
other.
Yeah.
And he had only, there were only two goals of his if he were to be elected. He was going to have the death penalty and only allow road work on the highways at night. It was the only two things he was going to do, and then resign.
Well, that shows you where New York is. I mean, one of the brightest minds in New York is Howard Stern, for crying out loud. That's a pretty sad comment.
Is that unbelievable?
The state of New York.
Now, Howard Stern, speaking of being executed, he's right up there with candidates. We should have our own death row.
Hey, a gallery on the website.
I guess that wouldn't work, would it? We'd really be blacklisted.
But
not like us then if we did that.
It's amazing that even a juvenile mind like Howard Stern, even he realizes some simple basic truths like we should execute murderers.
Right.
I mean, come on.
Right, exactly.
All right, here's another one.
Yeah.
HIV-positive athlete freed on bail.
Oh,
this
all right.
This is the South Dakota athlete that you might have been reading about, an 18-year-old basketball player who knowingly exposed and apparently infected at least four other people, women, with the HIV virus after he found out he was positive.
Right.
Well, tonight he's at home smoking and joking in front of the TV watching The Tonight Show with Jay Leno, free on $10,000 bail. Four people have been infected with the HIV virus that they know of so far.
And so he's done this knowingly.
Yeah.
And they haven't executed him either.
They haven't executed him, but you know what they have done, Bob?
What?
They've uncovered a web of sexual contacts, and this is in small town Huron, South Dakota.
Mm.
But it turns out that when you start looking into the sexual practices of college students, it turns out that basically
they
all had sex with each other.
Wherever you go.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, they might not have all directly had sex with each other, but when you start following it back, it's amazing.
Right.
So the sexually immoral culture rampant throughout the colleges.
I do not want our kids to go to college.
No.
I do not want them to go to college because the vast majority of kids get ruined in college.
Yeah.
There's too much sexual temptation and drugs and alcohol. And even if you raise a nice Christian son and he goes to college and there are, you know, dozens of good-looking women who want to have sex.
Yeah.
But if our son wants to be a doctor, he has to go to college, okay, but we're not going to pay for it. All right, Doug, live commercial break. And we're on the radio, and we've been telling people about the Bible audio tapes, the albums we have. And we're going through, like, the book of Genesis. They can order Genesis Creation, which is really fun, about evolution and creation. And then Genesis the Fall talks about the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the garden. And also questions like, when did the fall happen?
Yeah.
Was it years after Adam and Eve got saved?
Mm-hmm.
Months? Days? When was it?
I don't know. Well, when I always thought about it, I figured it must have been quite a while. Must have been a while.
And believe it or not, there's some significant evidence in the Bible about when. and when turns out to be rather interesting.
It's extremely interesting.
It's just fascinating.
That is one of my favorite studies.
Isn't that fun?
Is the fall. Album on the fall of man.
And we also, in that study, now that's a lengthy study, we also talk about why did God put the tree in the middle of the garden?
Yeah.
And what was the garden like?
What was the garden like?
Could you get into the garden from any direction, or was there only one way in and one way out?
Mm-hmm.
We know a lot about that garden, not only from Genesis, but from elsewhere in
the
Bible.
There's some other stuff that I, frankly, I would have never really put that together.
So much fun.
Except for the study. It's just tremendous.
In fact, there's an entire Bible. There's an entire chapter in the Bible, and let's not say where it is.
No, that would be cheating.
It's all about that tree that was in the midst of the garden,
mm-hmm.
the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. There's one chapter that deals exclusively with that tree.
Yep.
And, you know, God put that tree in the garden, and then he kicked Adam and Eve out. And how long was that tree there, and where did it go?
Yeah,
what happened to it?
What happened to the tree?
Well, we cover all that. 1-888-8-N-YART. 1-888-8-N-YART.
01.
And we're back with headlines, our call-in line, 1-800-8-N-YART, 1-800-836-9278. During the break, Doug told our call screener to get even better callers.
Even better.
I don't mean than the previous callers. I mean than the people who are on hold.
Oh, yeah.
Because not all calls make the cut.
No, certainly not. Certainly not.
And especially people who disagree, they go to the top of the list.
Yeah, that's what we really want. We want to talk to the hellbound and damned because we want to, we're here to help.
It's more interesting.
We're with the shadow government. We're here to help.
That's right.
That's a whole different story. I got a headline for you, though, here, Bob.
Yeah.
Bush, this is a quote, in quotation marks, "I'd watch Clinton's show." It's a quote from the President of the United States, George Bush.
George Bush said he'd watch Clinton's show?
He said, quote, "I'd check it out."
Oh.
And they even asked him if he'd be a guest, and he said, "I might."
Oh, no.
Now, this is an unconfirmed report, thankfully enough.
Remember the charges against Clinton were all, they settled him right as he was leaving?
That's right. That's right.
I had made a prediction that if that did not happen, Bush would have pardoned Clinton for all the pending charges.
Yeah.
But he didn't have to.
Right. They did it very clean and not messy.
Yeah, very much with the Bush administration support because they didn't want to have to deal with it.
No, they didn't want to have to go back and address all the issues like right and wrong. And
I think it's better when you have a criminal that you charge him and try him.
Yeah.
I think that's better.
I would have paid him admission to see that trial.
Oh, that would have been
great. That would have just been so
We're going to have to write another chapter to the first 5 days.
Yeah, the Clinton trial.
Put Clinton on trial, along with Pat Schroeder.
Yeah.
That was a fun book.
All right, now more headlines. This is a shocker.
Mm.
There's a report, the headline from the Associated Press today, report, Arafat linked to terrorist attacks.
What? Come on.
Again, Bob is shocked.
Read that again, that headline.
Arafat linked to terrorist attacks.
No way.
I know. It's like, say it ain't so. Right. There's no way. Yeah, well, apparently, they captured one of his top lieutenants.
Mm-hmm.
And now that they've deprived him of sleep long enough and beat him senseless, he's finally starting to give him some information. And apparently one of the things he said that, believe it or not, it's true. Yasser Arafat is linked to the suicide bombings in Israel that's been going on.
It's as though, how can they even write that headline? It's as though all the evidence that's been out in the media was never out. What's with that?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Well, I don't know.
Okay. So, what else we got headlines here?
Let's see. You want to do this Las Vegas Sun headline?
I don't think so. No. I don't think it makes the cut.
I did the story last week on my show.
You did.
See, our audio guy, he doesn't listen to my show.
Our audio guy thinks we should do the story about the father who bit off his son's thumb.
Yeah. Did you read that story?
No.
The guy was on drugs,
mm-hmm.
and he was involved in some sort of spiritual exercise that involved biting off and swallowing his son's thumb.
And that's why I get so upset at the conservatives who think that we should legalize drugs.
Yeah, I hear that more from conservatives than liberals.
Right, because then you can tax it.
Oh, yeah. And, yeah, that's great.
You know, we could tax the blood that's flowing from the gash above their eyes or something.
Yeah, how about that?
For proposing that.
Yeah.
We could tax that, their blood emissions.
Let's tax blows to the head.
Yeah, just because you could tax something doesn't mean you should do it.
No.
The problem with that is that when people get high, they become a threat to their neighbors.
That's right.
And they become negligent. And we as a society don't have to put up with people, our neighbors, losing control of their faculties. That's an unacceptable risk.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so we should win the war on drugs. We could win it in about 4 days, but we don't have the wisdom. Our government doesn't know how to win it. And if they heard the proposal, they wouldn't have the moral courage to do it.
No.
They'd rather see tens of thousands of young people have their lives destroyed and all the crime and all that.
In order to appease the liberals. It's the conservatives' way of appearing to be progressive to the liberals. Well,
right.
Yes, I'm conservative, but I think we should legalize drugs.
Right. Or even, yes, I'm conservative, but I don't really want to do anything to stop drug use in America.
Right.
I just want to put up a show of a war on drugs that is a complete failure.
Right. But I am open to the idea of drug use and drug abuse generating revenue to the government. I am open for that idea.
Right.
That's despicable.
What a shame.
It's despicable. But what are you going to do? Oh,
we got it. Yeah, go ahead.
You want some more headlines? Do you think you can take any? Or would you rather hear about the metaphysical waitress that I met?
All right. What's anyway. With the waitress?
Anyway, I got together this week with a friend of yours.
All right.
Which a guy out of state.
Mm-hmm.
And he took me to a very fine restaurant where the waitress who was attending us, and she was a good waitress. I'm not gonna slam her abilities as a waitress.
Mm.
But she made the mistake in her introduction of mentioning that she was about to receive her degree.
Oh,
she was
involved
in a graduate study program in metaphysics.
Oh, good.
Yeah, metaphysics, I said.
Right. So like, does she have pyramids in her bedroom?
Fortunately, there was a dress code at the restaurant, or I'm sure she would have been pierced and glittering and that whole thing.
Right.
But she made the mistake of mentioning that she was she was doing her graduate work there in metaphysics, and this friend of yours, Bob, who will go unnamed,
right,
he leapt on the opportunity, and the poor girl couldn't get away from the table because we engaged her in what another friend with us at the table called a very mean-spirited attack because our friend, when the waitress finally did get away from the table after we questioned her about metaphysics and the study of that,
right,
and in comparison with Christianity and a few other religions that we threw in there that we talked about, our friend said, you know what? Can you imagine how much you've hurt this girl? Here she is devoting her life to the study of metaphysics, and you dismiss it, call her a fool, and tell her she's wasting her life.
Oh, really? That sounds pretty good to me.
No.
So this is a friend of mine?
A friend of yours.
From
out of state, who took me to dinner.
I'm dying to know who this
Bob,
is.
He's a very mean-spirited chap, I've got to tell you.
Because most of my friends are really smart. This is one of my stupid friends.
No, Bob. The waitress was not your friend.
No.
The guy attacking the waitress was your friend. And there was another third, a civilian.
Third party with my friend.
No.
Oh,
Bob,
my friend was,
your friend was
doing
the
right thing.
He initiated the assault.
He told the waitress, you're wasting your life.
And he used the word fool on several occasions.
Good.
And it was very mean-spirited.
So does the Bible.
Yeah. And
so does Jesus.
I tried to tell the civilian who was there, who's unfamiliar with
how to witness, how to make friends and influence enemies.
Right.
He hasn't taken our course in Nicer Than God.
Yeah. He's unfamiliar with how to prevent an intelligent young woman from
destroying
her life.
Right. He just wants to be nice.
Right. He would rather be friends with her
I
want to
know who the civilian
is. She was only going to be there. We're only going to meet her once
For
1 hour.
And she's going to hell.
Going to hell.
Highway to hell.
Exactly. She's full speed, no brakes.
And if somebody's on the side of the road saying, do you really find fulfillment in that? You know, she's not going to stop.
Right.
She's
going
80 miles an hour.
Right.
But if somebody's waving their arms in the middle of the highway,
right,
saying, you're going to hell, the bridge is out, you're going to hell,
right,
stop.
Stop.
You lunatic, turn around. Maybe you'll catch your notice.
Well, that's what this friend of yours was doing.
Good.
And you know what's
great,
Bob?
I have good friends.
And some people might be shocked to hear this, but I was very pleased that we were able to turn the conversation directly to Christianity.
Mm.
I didn't actually. This friend of yours, this very
you don't
want to
say who it is,
character.
Huh?
Well, I might let it slip.
You could give the initials.
This friend of yours,
yeah,
he was able to push the conversation directly to the person of Jesus Christ Himself.
That's great.
And Bob, if you think questioning someone's metaphysical beliefs is mean spirited, you should see how squirmy they get and
when
jittery
when you mention Jesus.
When you not only mention Jesus, but you force them to declare their position on Jesus Christ.
For or against?
Are yay or nay? Say it now.
Jesus said either you're for me or against me.
Right.
And he didn't leave any wiggle room.
No, not a lot of wiggle room. Well, neither did Mike. He didn't leave her much wiggle
Mike.
Room. Oh, I let it slip
Mike,
who it
Mike,
was.
Mike.
Anyway.
Oh, I bet I know who
basically,
it was. All right.
Basically, she, after stumbling and fumbling, she actually came out and said that Christianity is wrong. She wouldn't attack the person of Jesus Christ. None of them can seem to do that.
Yeah, that's hard for most.
It's really difficult for most.
Just a handful.
But she attacked the teachings of the Bible. She mocked the Bible. That's the book that Jesus Christ wrote or inspired to be written.
Right.
And so it was just so awesome. And all I could think of as we were leaving the restaurant, it was after midnight. The night did go a little longer than we had planned. After I left the restaurant, I thought, how great is this to know that this metaphysical waitress is going to be laying awake at night remembering tonight,
right,
knowing exactly what we said. We made her so uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Even though she kept claiming that she enjoyed the conversation, she loves stimulating intellectual conversation,
right,
she laid awake in her bed that night and had to struggle with the fact that she had just rejected the name of Jesus Christ and the Bible, mm-hmm, and the story of the Bible, the teachings
Good.
Of the Bible. We forced her to struggle with that, and Bob, it was not very nice.
Well, Doug, I'm glad you guys confronted her because Christians have elevated niceness,
mm-hmm,
to a higher priority than evangelism.
Yeah. Yeah.
Higher priority. You got to, mm-hmm, be nice.
Yep.
And, you know, Jesus, he wasn't always nice. They didn't crucify him because he was so nice.
No, they did not.
He wasn't so nice all the time. In fact, usually he made enemies everywhere he went.
Mm-hmm.
Christians today teach that if you make enemies, you're not being Christ-like.
Yeah, right.
Well, how does that work?
Yeah.
Why did the prophets, why were they killed? They were persecuted. Why did the apostles, why did they all get martyred?
Mm-hmm.
Because of how nice they were?
I don't think so.
No, they went to the Romans and they said, you know, Jesus doesn't care about what kind of governing official you are. He just only wants you to attend Sunday school.
And learn about love.
Right.
Yes.
No, they said that you're evil, you're corrupt, you're, mm-hmm, a murderer, you're,
yeah,
a thief. Like John the Baptist said, the king in Israel, Herod, was an adulterer committing incest.
Yeah.
And he got his head cut off.
Yeah.
What, did he blow it? Was God mad at John
no,
the Baptist?
I don't think so.
No, I don't think so
the
either.
The thing is, Bob, for that hour, perhaps that waitress was our enemy. But let's wait and see how things shake out because this whole thing isn't over yet, you know?
She might get saved.
And it better to make someone uncomfortable for an hour and maybe upset them,
yeah,
than to just allow them to gallivant merrily off,
right,
to hell for eternity.
Like Pat the Righteous from Buffalo, New York last night.
A fine example.
Pat the Righteous,
yeah,
who she said, let's say I were an evil person. I said, you are. We don't have to imagine. You are an evil person. So just start from there. And she said, okay, I'm an evil person and da-da-da. Well, at least she's starting to think in the right,
yeah,
frame of reference.
Yeah.
Pat, you're evil.
Yeah.
And hell is the place where people go when they don't want to live with God.
That's right.
And Pat made it very clear she does not want to live with God.
Yeah.
And God's not going to force her. He's not dysfunctional.
No.
He's not like a guy who traps a woman and says, you have to marry me, you have to love me. No, God lets them decide freely. You either love or hate God. It's up to you.
Yeah. Well, so instead of just enjoying our meal and being extremely nice,
yeah,
we forced this metaphysical chick to, hey, make a decision, make a declaration for or against, and hopefully she's still struggling with it. I,
mm-hmm,
hope so.
Mm-hmm.
I really do. But, Bob, your friends are really cool.
Yeah, I have great friends. Great friends, great family. Doug, thanks for joining me on the show. The show's over.
I know. Time flies on Friday night.
And let me give out our phone number for if anybody wants to order 1-888-8-N-YARDS. And they can get these audio albums we've been talking about. You know, about being harsh with people. We've got that video, Amy's Call.
Oh, yeah.
Boy, talk about being harsh with somebody. Huh? We're out of time. Bye, Doug. This is Bob N-YARDS reminding you to do right and risk the consequences.